I'd like to begin with a little bit of an update on our beloved Mark Manenberg. A few of us were so fortunate as to be with Mark and Joni a few nights ago as they opened their house to say thank you to a lot of people that became involved with Mark as he has faced the recurrence of cancer in the last months and as he went through his chemotherapy, etc. I want you to know that Mark Manenberg has never looked better and his energy has never been more beautiful. Before I left, I spoke with Joni for a minute, and this is the thing that I'd like to report back to all of us that I found so powerful in talking with her. What she told me is, she said, "Beth, all these people came here and met with Mark. I had the opportunity to take him to the hospital and have him at my house for a day and a half at one point. And a lot of other people came in and did something similar." And what Joni said is, everybody gave Mark their vision, their prayers, their way. Like she said, Karen Arndorfer came in and gave these rocks to them and told them that she was going to place them in their bedroom and explain to them what each rock meant. And Joni said some times when they'd be pretty upset, they look at those rocks and they say, "That one means strength and that one means peace." And she said it was probably, you know, 10, 15, 20 different people that came in offering their pieces, their vision. And it reminded me of that original, slogan for the United States. It was E Pluribus Unum, which was out of many, one. That what happened there was, out of so many people pouring out prayers and thoughts and gifts and wisdom and paths, a miracle occurred. Truly a miracle occurred. And so I think we should know that, and know that everyone's prayer matters. Everyone's extension of love affects. And then when we, many of us, are willing to give that to someone, it has an incredible power. And I felt like in talking to her that I left with this aha and this great affirmation to bring back to all of us, because I know so many of us are on the prayer connection and offer our prayers and our uplift to others and know that it affects. It affects in a big way. So that reminds me of something that I kind of touched on when I was here a few weeks ago, which was that we're all here to heal. And I often say about the fellowship that this really is a ministry where we interpret the work of Jesus, the scriptures, the Course in Miracles, which says the healing of God's child is what the world is for. That's one of its big slogans. That's what we're here for. We aren't really a house of worship. We're a place of healing. And So I felt like, well, that certainly fit with Mark's experience that he had. So if healing is what the world is for, we have a lot of work to do, don't we? And some of us have lamented a bit the challenges that we seem to be facing right now. There's several different kind of levels of challenge. We seem to be having some sort of a political challenge in the fact that we're not sure the direction that we want to go in, you know, and we have various opinions, which we should have. And when you bring a group together and we say, what are we going to do now, whether it's the steering committee or the fellowship, whether it's the membership, whether it's a community, and a question comes up, you need to hear different opinions. Even in a two-person relationship, as we know, there are usually different opinions. And as a matter of fact, when I hear about a group working and somebody tells me, oh yeah, we all agree on everything, I always say, someone's not telling the truth. And if we're not telling the truth, then we're not doing our work. You know, I mean, it's natural. We all have different histories. We have different definitions. We have different priorities. So if we all sit down to figure something out, let's all speak our piece. Let's all put it on the table, because by everyone contributing their honest vision, and each of us respecting that, we no doubt will come out with a better result than if everybody kind of steps back and says, I'm not going to say it because whatever, you know, I don't want to cause a ripple. Ripplesome folks, you know. We will be stronger and better through honesty, through sincerity, than we ever will through stepping back and pretending for, I don't know what that would be for, a need to not have anybody know what you thought, or a fear of causing a little something. You know, and let's all embrace when somebody says, I don't agree with you, let's not cut them off. Let's say, let's talk, you know, let's communicate. What a much more perfect world we could come to with that. So, I guess that's my first point. Let's be honest and let's be open and let's be willing to hear. And let's stay in love with each other in that exchange, whatever that is. This week, as I was thinking about speaking to you, I picked up this very interesting little pamphlet that comes out of a New Thought group, and it was speaking about a basic principle that it is an all-new thought, and I want to bring that to your attention tonight because it's part of a reality check, and that is sometimes called the law of mind action, but it's this. Whatever thoughts we consistently maintain, either individually or collectively, will be returned to us in a tangible experience. Whatever thoughts we're holding, either individually or collectively, will come up as a tangible experience. Now, some of us, when you first get into this line of thinking, which is taught by the entire New Thought movement, plus a lot of Christian churches that are willing to be open in how they interpret the Bible and understand that Jesus saying, we love our enemies, you know, we love everyone. In other words, Jesus taught consciousness. What consciousness are we going to hold? We're going to hold that of love. And as the Course in Miracles teaches, there's two orders of thought, love and fear. Well, think about that and where we're at right now, and it makes me think of, we must have been a thinking group thinking a lot of fear, because we've got a lot of fearful images, kind of scary stuff going on, and that couldn't happen if we weren't there. So I think for all of us that are aligned with the thinking that we learn in Course in Miracles and in our teachings here, we want to make sure that we stay in that world of love and not fear. One of my favorite lessons in the workbook of A Course in Miracles is lesson 16, which says, we have no neutral thoughts, and that every thought we're thinking is bringing on love or fear. Now, this takes like a new commitment to really get serious about looking at how we're thinking and deciding to continue to switch into love and to release that fear thought. And I really believe that as we learn to do this and as we commit to do this more or consistently, we become collectively a light, a bright light, because we are shining that love light and not moving into that fear light. And we know that holding all that fear is going to bring us more disasters. And remember the last time I spoke, I talked about let's not be against stuff. Let's hold it towards for what we want to advocate. Let's be for things. And I brought up the fact that when you're acting out of love, which is the for energy, it's feeding your energy. It's positive energy for you. But if you're in that no, you know, against and often fearful place, you're depleting yourself, and you're affecting others that way. So that I have no neutral thoughts, lesson 16, Course in Miracles lessons, which will be the 16th of January if you're doing it through the year. It's important for us, I think, and all the lessons in the Course in Miracles teach us this. Take a look at what you're thinking. You know, what are you thinking when you think about any political leader or any situation? Are you thinking fear? Or are you challenging yourself to thoughts of love? Now, here's the next one. Are we going to love all these people that we have judged in the past or anyone? I mean, it could be an international person, but it could be our neighbor that continues to, you know, let their dog run or parks their car so we can't pull out our, you know, or our relative that is consistently rude to us, whatever, you know, it's the same issue. How are we going to change our thoughts from fear to love or into love? Well, I think we want to start praying for everybody. I mean, this is what I think. And, you know, this sort of fits with Mark Vandenberg's story that so many of us were willing to pray for him and to visualize his healing. But I've thought about, well, how does praying for people, what are we supposed to do about praying for people? Do we just say, oh yeah, I'll pray for you, and then we think about their name? And so I've come up in the last month or so with a very simple way to do it. And it's amazed me because I can't believe this never really dawned on me before. And this is my suggestion. Do you know that at the end of our service, we say the prayer for protection? We say, you can say it with me, the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, and the presence of God is within us. Okay, so this is what I've been doing lately. It's so fantastic. So when I think about somebody I want to pray for, I feel it. I visualize them, and I say this to them. The light of God surrounds you. The love of God enfolds you. The power of God protects you. The presence of God is within you. Wherever you are, God is. And all as well. Well, I'll tell you, it's really something to do that if you're of my political leaning for Donald Trump a few times a day. It's wonderful. I mean, I'm just in love with Donald Trump because my goal is to love everybody, you know. And so this is a person that I might have resisted. Some of you are saying, please, Pat. But it's true. And you know, if you voted for Donald Trump, I want you to pray for whoever, Hillary, Bill, whoever, that Obama, whoever you might not have been particularly in love with, because it's more challenging to pray like that for the person that you've been annoying. But it is powerful, and it's really powerful because the key to that is to feel it, is to really feel it, like to visualize the person. I think we should do it for Hillary right now and for Donald, okay? So we'll start with Hillary, and I want you to close your eyes and visualize her. Little Hillary sitting in front of you in consciousness. And let's say it kind of quietly together and feel it. Hillary, the light of God surrounds you. The love of God enfolds you. The power of God protects you. The presence of God is within you. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well. Now we're going to do Donald. Donald, the light of God surrounds you. The love of God enfolds you. The power of God protects you. The presence of God is within you. Wherever you are, God is. And all is well. I can say, because I've been doing this specifically for a number of people, well, for sure with Donald Trump, my sense is that, and maybe all political people, kind of, or a lot of political people have a tendency this way, but he's been a very fearful person. And what he needs to do is feel that there is this love surrounding him, that there is this power within him. It's not outside of him. It's within him. And to feel that relaxing sense that you feel when you truly experience that visually and personally. So my summary is, we have power. We have power more than we know. We have the ability to manifest through our choice of consciousness, love. Love, which is the power of God, which is the most powerful thing in the world. And we can, in fact, hold in that love and therefore touch, literally touch the energy field of others and change them, change us. And I just figure, why not? It's what we believe, it's what we've been studying, it's who we are, and we can do this. That's my talk tonight. The point I want to make of an example of leading with love that a lot of us have read a lot about, have observed in movies made, have followed, was Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. When you go back and look at all that he did and all that he accomplished, he did it with a complete commitment to love and peace. And so we have a beautiful example there in our country, in our lifetime. And so if you sometimes lose your way, look up at some of his speeches or his letters from the jail and just read them again. And it will give you an example of the highest road that we can take. That's it.